the things we've been really just thinking on is authority and responsibility. A lot of people are saying in this time, oh, God's coming, Jesus is coming back, like Jesus is coming back, the world's a mess, or, you know, just pray for the rapture, brother. That's not how it works. I mean, it might work that way. I'm not an expert on this. Adam was told to be fruitful, multiply, take dominion over the earth. He was given authority, and then he had responsibilities that God had given him. He obviously, there's a fall, Satan takes authority over the earth. So the earth becomes Satan's, right? He has all authority on earth. And we are under Satan's authority, crying out for a savior, crying out for a hero to come and save us, because we can't. We are under the curse. We are under sin. Jesus comes, and he, through his death and resurrection, takes the keys of earth, and he says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, he's talking to us again, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey Jesus. Basically, he's giving us the Adam mandate again of be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion, bring heaven onto earth through our life, right? So a lot of guys are like, man, you know, why is God allowing this? And God would say to us, why are you allowing it? You are the ones who have authority and things. So so that's the God authority, right? God has offered co-authorship, co-authority over earth to us. Majority of us are not president of the United States. We have no authority to direct America, to guide America. We also have very few responsibilities. We have responsibilities as citizens, but no responsibilities as president, right? We don't have responsibility to stop sin or fight sin in high places because we don't have the corruption. We don't have that authority. And so stories like Q are great. It's like the right-wing CNN, right? It's giving us, it gives us encouragement. It's good to be encouraged. It's good to think that there's good things in high places because we have no authority there. So it's giving us the hope that someone is doing something. But what that should not do is give you the whole thing of like, well, Jesus is going to save me. I don't have to be a Christian.
This doesn't give an out.
Q is going to save me. I don't have to be a citizen. Here's where we're at, why we're so hopeful, why we're so, regardless of what happens, is me being a Christian, I have certain authorities that I walk in. As Jesus was on earth, so am I on earth. As Jesus is in heaven, so am I on earth, right? As he is in this world, so are you in this world. That means I do certain things. I don't sit around moping. I don't sit around depressed. I don't sit around waiting for a savior, right? That is actually like an offense to God because like, I did come and save you. Now, what are you going to do with it? I came and gave you the keys. Why are you driving the car badly? Why are you not cleaning it? If a father gives you a car, it's because he thinks that you're going to do with the car what he would do with the car. So look after what you've been given, right? So for us, it's a thing of like, okay, we have power in our local area. We have power through our economic decisions. We have power through our social decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We have power through our faith decisions. There's so much we can do on our local area that we have authority over, or at least co-authorship in, that we can do, that we're not helpless. We're not powerless. And then second of all, let's say it's the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is we die. And as Christians, we're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of getting Rona. We're not afraid of getting locked up for our social media posts. We're not afraid of being denied service by some corporation. We're not afraid of death.
Amen.
Jesus says, I've overcome the grave. So if we believe that, if we are Christians, it's like, okay, I'm not afraid of death. And once you're not afraid of death, everything else falls into perspective of that. What would you do if you were fearless?
And for us, what that looks like on a personal level, we have decided this year is no more Kroger. We are making the decision to never shopping at Kroger again. And really all globally owned or big corporate companies. We've come a long way the past 2 years of slowly quitting these places. The mask thing has tied the knot of our decision.
Yeah, our thoughts on that are we want to de-corporate tyrannize our food system. It's not the governments. The governments are setting mandates and being douches, but they're not out in the streets arresting people and beating people with sticks to follow mask mandates and destroy society. It's the big corporations, right? They want lockdowns. Kroger wants lockdowns. Walmart wants lockdowns. Amazon wants lockdowns. They want lockdowns because it kills small business opposition. and it forces people onto their monopolies, right? Which means they have all power and all control to gatekeep. Now, if you believe a certain thing that they do not, then they can say, well, people like you aren't allowed on our banking system. People like you aren't allowed in our shop. People like you aren't allowed to use our service. And so they effectively gatekeep what people are allowed to believe through economic choices. Mm-hmm. And so for us, there would be no problem. We have no problem with people staying at home if they're afraid. We have no problem with people wearing masks if they're afraid. You do you. Stop trying to control other people and other people's businesses and their decisions.
Yeah.
And so we've made the decision that, we will defy tyranny, corporate tyranny, by shopping local, by shopping small. We won't have corporations involved in our food. So we want to either know the person we're buying our food from or grow it ourselves. But one of the things we're learning is how much we can do without. All right. The biggest thing we were just chatting this morning is conscience versus convenience, like conviction versus convenience. In order to keep our conscience clean, we're having to do without more and more and more conveniences. You know, so we're looking at a life where, you know, if you can't get certain products, are you willing to sear your conscience to go and get it? Or are you willing to do without it to maintain a clean conscience?
An example would be, we do bananas, we do frozen bananas in our smoothies, and then that's how we make our ice cream. And we found a locally owned grocery store that have 5 in our local area, but it's not really local feel. It's local, but it's...
Well, all of their food that they stock is corporation food. It's industrial food supply.
But it's a local competitor with Kroger. So that's where we've been going for our groceries that we don't get from farmers or from Missouri. And the last time we were in there, someone that walked past us whispered to their spouse that we don't have masks on, and so we were like, oh no, like they're gonna go tell
us. By whisper, it was at us.
Yeah, it wasn't really whispering.
You don't have masks on.
It wasn't really. Yeah, we played that off a lot nicer, but we thought they were gonna kick us out, and so we were like, okay, what are we gonna do if they kick us out? They didn't, praise God.
But the whole time you're shopping under fear.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it is every time, because we never wear a mask. We usually go in there after church on Sundays and get some stuff. And we're like, you know, if we keep going here after church on Sundays, they're going to catch on to our pattern, and they may kick us out. And so Scott was like, you know what? We just go without bananas, because that's the only place that we can get bananas from. And I was like, man, that stinks. Like, I love bananas. And so then I happened to look at Azure's website, and they have frozen bananas. So we were like, thank you, God. So just simple things like that, where one, you do come to a place of surrender, and two, it really does give God a really cool opportunity for like him to show up and for you to live completely dependent on him. He knows the desires of our heart and he loves us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when you limit yourself and when you put limits on yourself and become dependent on God and his provision, really every day becomes a really fun adventure with God and what he's going to do.
And I think that's it as well. It's like, it's not pushing the responsibility back onto God or back onto a political savior. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are totally against China. China has destroyed American industry. It's destroyed pretty much the whole economic heartland of America, and they pump their cheap goods in, and people are like, this is terrible, we need we need an economic blockade against China, which I fully agree with. But then they go and shop at Walmart, or they go and shop at Lowe's, or they go and get cheap China junk and sell it in their own store or their own business. And herein lies the cleanliness of conscience that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Is unless we have a clean conscience, we're never going to see the hand of God move through our nation. There has to be a repentance personally of, okay, I will never support a business decision personally that goes against my huge, big political things. You know, so for instance, we're totally against usurious banking. You know, and so a lot of people are like, oh, destroy the Fed, audit the Fed. And it's like, but then you go and you take out loans and you've got credit card debt. Like, that's your personal, you want someone else to save you while you personally do the thing. You know, same with child trafficking. You know, you want to go and save the children and stop the pornography and stop the prostitution. And it's like, well, how many guys are still watching porn themselves? And for the girls, how many of you are sending your kids off to go and be raised by someone who's sexually abusing them or preparing them mentally to be sexually abused mm-hmm. in the culture. And so one of the biggest things for us with this whole cleanliness of conscience is to stop pushing our conscience onto political saviors and stop pushing our discomfort onto political saviors while we still live a very comfortable life. So for instance, if there's 80 million people that voted for Donald, you know, that's a sizable, and their families, their hangers-on, their dependents, their businesses, their employees, their church members, that's a huge cultural nation that has huge personal repentance power, personal choice power, personal cleanliness of conscience power that we're not using because we're pushing it off on Donald, or we're pushing it off on Q, or we're pushing it off on Jesus. When we are the ones who need to make personal decisions that are powerful mm-hmm. and clean our conscience.
Amen.
Amen.